We'll begin this April 4th session of Sussex County Council with the Lord's Prayer, followed by the pledge of allegiance to the flag. Our Father, which art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Approval of the agenda.
Mr. Rogers, would you please delete approval of minutes?
I'm going to send out to you, but I just didn't get them to you.
Okay, anything else? If not, entertain a motion to approve the agenda with the deletion of the approval of minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Phillips, second by Mr. Dukes to approve the agenda for Sussex County Council, April 4, 2006, as in printed form, deleting approval of minutes. Mr. Cole's not in the room yet. Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
I vote yes. Reading of correspondence.
We have two items this morning. A letter from Lida Wells, the chairperson of the Milford Hospital Fair, thanking council for a donation through the hospital fair. Also a letter from the Indian River School District Minority Leadership Alliance, thanking council for a donation that they will use to help give a scholarship to a minority student to attend college. That's all the correspondence.
Okay, Mr. Stickles, request for executive session.
I would ask if the council would consider granting an executive session to discuss pending litigation and personnel issues.
Right after this meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Mr. Phillips. Second by Mr. Jones to have an executive session right after this meeting for personnel and pending litigation. Questions? Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
I vote yes. Next. Wastewater agreements.
I have a series of wastewater agreements. The first is the Retreat Phase 2 Agreement 328-2. The developer is S&B Lands, LLC. It's located south corner of County Road 277 and County Road 283 in the North Bethany Planning Area. 51 single-family lots. The engineering department gave approval on December 12th, 03. DENREC on January 23rd, 04. 90 days of construction. Administration inspection cost of $19,261. Construction cost of $128,410. Be it moved that based on recommendations of the engineering department for project 8104 agreement 328-2, county council execute a construction administration inspection agreement between the council and S&B Land LLC for wastewater facility be constructed in Retreat Phase 2 located in the North Coastal Planning Area.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Jones, second by Mr. Phillips to approve the wastewater agreement with the Retreat as read. Question on the motion. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
How about a yes?
The next project is Topsides Condominium Agreement 586. Acria Construction LLC, the west end of Yacht Basin Road in the Cedar Neck expansion of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District. 9 condominium units and 1 existing multifamily residential unit. Systems connection charges of $33,820. The engineering department gave plan approval on February 17, 2006. DENREC on March 2, 2006. 15 days of construction. Administration inspection cost of $4,746. Proposed construction of $31,641.
Motion, gentlemen.
Be it moved that based on recommendations of the Engineering Department for Project 81-04, Agreement 586, County Council execute a construction administration construction inspection agreement between Council and Accurate Construction LLC for wastewater facility be constructed topside condominium located in the Cedar Neck expansion of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District.
Motion by Mr. Duke, second by
Mr.
Phillips to approve the topside condominiums. Questions? Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
I vote yes.
And the last one is Vincent Overlook Phase 1.1, Agreement 521. The developer is Vincent Property LLC, located at the intersection of County Road 88 and 261 in the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District. 30 single-family lots and a pump station. Construction inspection charges $291,568. Engineering gave approval on October 18th, 05. DENREC on November 30th, 05. 30 days of construction. Administration and inspection cost of $149,719. Proposed construction cost of $998,128. Be it moved that based on recommendations of the Engineering Department for County Project 81-04, Agreement 521, County Council execute administration and construction inspection agreement between the Council and Vincent Properties LLC for wastewater facilities to be constructed in Vincent Overlook Phase 1.1, located in the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District.
So moved, Mr. President.
Motion by Mr. Jones.
Second.
Second by Mr. Dukes to approve Vincent Overlook Phase 1-1. As read, questions? Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
I believe yes.
The last item I have at this time is the Administrator's Report. The Engineering Department granted beneficial acceptance on March 23, 2006 to Victoria Landing at the Long Neck Back Bay Center Agreement 299-1. And the second item is that the Planning and Zoning Commission and the Sussex County Council will be conducting a public workshop on April 12, 2006 regarding the 2007 Comprehensive Land Use Plan update. The workshop will take place at the Sussex County West Complex. There will be a dinner at 5:30 p.m. with the workshop starting at 6:15 p.m. Connie Holland, State Planning Coordinator, will discuss the understanding of developing and regulatory requirements of the 2007 land use plan. There will be open dialogue between the Council and the Planning and Zoning Commission over the requirements of the plan. The media, as well as the general public, will be allowed to attend, but there will not be open discussion from the public.
Okay. Van Milligan, we requested Van, the building code and supervisor, to come in this morning, reference architectural and engineering building code requirements. Mr. Stickler, do you want to bring him up to speed?
Mr. Rogers, what I'd like to pass down to you is what the current definition is of the calculating the 5,000 square feet, and I'm also going to pass down to you the definition from the code book that we have been using since the adoption of the code. And I will turn that over now to Mr. Milligan.
Mr. Milligan.
Morning.
Morning.
What you're being passed down is a basic calculation of figuring 5,000 square feet of house. There's five items there. Basements with ceiling height 7 feet or greater. Garage structurally attached to house. Garage or living space above. Second floor with 9-foot pitch or greater that meets required ceiling height and room size. And the fifth would be any living space that meets required ceiling height and room size. Below that, you have your questions on those. I don't want to.
So we do, you say, if it's attached, you do count it as square footage.
If a garage is,
living space.
Sometimes you'll get a garage that basically it's attached right to the house and you actually walk from the house out to the garage on the second floor where they have the bonus room. If the garage is not attached, if there's, a breezeway between it, or it's just not able to do that, then we don't count that garage. It's only when it's structurally, in other words, if the house was to catch on fire, it'd go to the garage or vice versa. We wouldn't count that garage.
All right.
So you do basements, whether they're finished or unfinished, they're in the calculation?
Basements are figured in calculation, yes.
And finished or unfinished?
Finished or unfinished. Okay. And the reason being for that, because the basement, the structural of the basement, doesn't make any difference if it's going to be habitable or not. It's still going to be, the structure still there.
Okay. Mr. Milligan, what does it benefit, does a county get from requiring the seal of the architect or engineer?
Well, you get a good set of plans done that an engineer or architect has already gone through those plans. And when they seal them, they're sealing the basic structure, beams, girders, if there's anything like that, foundations, everything. So when the house is built to those specifications, if there was a beam failure, it wouldn't come back on the county. We put in what the engineer or architect had requested and said would do that span. Another thing it does, it when we get a set of plans that are sealed, then the only thing we have to do at that point is go through it and look for life safety. Egress windows, smoke detectors, that type of thing. So it cuts our review time considerably. The other day we had an example. I think the house was like 5,800 square feet, and Mike Jost was the plan reviewer that did it. He just went through to do life safety, and it was a two-hour process to go through the house. Cause way it was cut up in the structure of it. So it still took a couple hours. Without that seal, it's going to take us a lot longer.
Would you have, if you didn't require that seal, would you have to have somebody on staff capable of conducting, determining if the house was properly engineered?
What we would do in a case like that, I have a good staff, and they can structurally do wooden girders, beams. However, the time factor for them to have to figure it is a lot different being sealed. Anytime a steel beam comes in, we don't even touch a steel beam because we're not qualified to do anything to steel at all. That has to be engineered or sealed.
Regardless of what it is.
Regardless. So, in a lot of your bigger houses, you're going to find I-beams in them because they're going to do away with those partitions or supports. When they come in sealed, the most time the square footage is already figured out. It's put right on the plans.
So it's not. It also protects the county, but also protects the consumer. Then if they get a shoddy builder,
right? It protects the county and protects the consumer. The consumer is getting a set of plans if it's 5,000 or greater that structurally are sealed, and they know that they're going to be all right.
And traditionally, Van, is it 5,000 and up? Of course, I know when they start becoming structural nightmares, for lack of better words, with all the fancy fluff and all the dormers and stuff like that. So it would take you a huge amount of time.
If we start getting 5,000 square foot house, I have if the council wants to, I have one here. Just show the complexity of a 5,000 square foot house now. I'm not going to sit here and tell you we don't get 3,000 and 4,000 square foot houses
that are crazy,
that are cut up too, because nowadays people that don't want a lack of terminology, I'm calling normal house. They want cathedral ceilings, they want this, they want that, they want this fancy stuff in there, and sometimes it turns into a structural nightmare where they might not be able to quite get that. Whereas an engineer or architect sealed the plans, we know what they had. If we come across an idea, if we're doing a house and we come up to a beam that's undersized, I don't know, what's the council want us to size that beam, or do you want us to give it back to the people to drew it and size that beam? Who wants that responsibility?
As far as you're saying, a sealed plan or unsealed plan?
Unsealed plan. Okay. If we have a beam in there, if we figure a beam up and it's supposed to be LVLs and they got 2x12s in there, now the council has to decide, do you want us to go ahead and put on there the 2 LVLs or in place of a 2x12, it's a man-made product, LVL for support, instead of like maybe a 2 by 12 wouldn't do it, then he'd go ahead and do a 14-inch LVL or something.
Right. It's a laminated beam.
Laminated beam.
Right. Do you...
So, I mean, that's the kind of thing.
Do you do that now?
Not on sealed plans. It's all done.
Right, for sealed, it's not your...
Oh, no. We contact people and say, you have an undersized beam here. What are you going to do?
Right.
And most of the time, you know, basically all of our houses are drawn up by at least draftsmen.
Right.
Okay?
CAD, I mean, CAD people.
Normally, people just don't... Once in a while, we'll get somebody, what we call store-bought plans, and they'll get in... They're like a across-the-board set of plans that we have to turn away most time, 99% of the time, because they're missing something.
Right.
They'll put down their footer.
The kind you buy out of the book.
Yeah. They'll put down footer per code.
Right.
You know, beam per code. Those are sent back anyway.
Right.
What's the cost for a consumer to get that seal? Would you estimate?
Mr. Phillips, I don't want to come out and say, I did hear the other day when we requested a guy, he talked about $750 to $1,000. Now, I would assume that would be due to the complexity of the home. I don't think that would be just a, you know, if you got a lot of cut-up stuff that they have to seal, have to figure. what does happen when we do get plans by anyone other than an architect engineer that draws their own plans up, that... when they take them to an architect engineer, there is a problem there because sometimes the architect engineer don't want to seal those plans.
Right.
Or they'll have to sit down and they're going to have them for a week or two.
They got to be real.
Figuring these wet loads and one thing. That is, they just won't put a seal on them.
Right. They're not going to walk in, stamp it, no. And say, see you later.
That seal means...
That'll be $50 or $100.
That seal means that we're very comfortable the way the house is drawn up and we're going to do the life safety part of it and send all that.
I guess this issue came up as a result of a phone call I received, and I think maybe some other councilmen may have received it from a. She was a young person, young couple, who had built a house or were having a house built 1,300 square feet, I believe, maybe 1,400 square feet, with a second story that was unfinished, and a basement, and because of the unfinished basement and the unfinished second floor, it just barely threw them over the $5,000, and they were on a tight budget. And she was quoted $1,200 for the seal. And in all sincerity, she just seemed to be on such a tight budget. Maybe it's her own fault that $1,200 was going to make or break them. I mean, it's hard to believe, but I guess when you start budgeting, you often go down to the dollar. Her primary complaint was that the basement shouldn't be calculated. She said there's really nothing architecturally special about a block basement, and that you know, it's unfair without that. You know, it's well below the 5,000 square feet. You know, I said I'd bring it up at council, and we're here today. Hey, what would you say to her if she called you?
I just want to see those plans, because if the basement was 1,300 and the house was, that's 2,600, the second floor must have been humongous. Could have had been another 2,500 square feet. So now what happens is, I'm not going to sit here today in front of council and say that we haven't made mistakes in building code. I'm not going to sit here, because that would be a mistake for me to say that.
I don't know anybody sitting here.
No. Now, if that happened, and we do have a new employee down there that Still training, basically, and she could have done that. I'm not going
to... Question is, another question that comes to mind is, if I get you to calculate the house without the basement, and I got all intentions 6 months down the road after I get my CO to just totally do it like a, you know, second floor, first floor or whatever, that's not calculated at that point, but then it becomes living space, correct? You have that right. Happen probably a lot, don't you?
Then you're, yeah.
And they don't get a building permit to do it anyway.
But I guess
comment on that, but
theoretically, the only really problem would be the life safety part, you know, how to get out or how to act, you know, some kind of fire to be able to get out. Regardless, and do we require that now? I mean, if they had, say, they had a 6'9" basement, they wouldn't count then. But if
would
it was
not
seven,
count.
But if it was, say if it was 7 foot,
it would count,
say,
because
we say okay, anything that, as long as they turn in, it's unfinished. Would we look at still how they, if they ever did do it? You know, regardless
of
permit or not.
Now, our new code, the international code, addresses finished basements. You must have an emergency egress.
Okay.
If you have a furnished basement with bedrooms, each bedroom has to have emergency egress. If they come through with a set of plans We do require them put on the plans. This just happened. I just got a letter back from International Code Council yesterday on this, matter of fact, on another case. That basement has to be labeled storage only, not habitable space or something to keep us from addressing the emergency egress. And I don't know, most of the people I feel, when they get a basement, they're in the back of their mind, is a possible playroom, game room, something.
Certainly if it's if you can stand up in it, it's going to be something, you know.
That's where the 7 foot comes in. That.
I agree.
I talked to Van a while ago about the 5,000 square feet, and he was saying that, you know, he's seen 3,000 square feet. That's more complex, more complicated than something 8,000 and 10,000 square feet. And, you know, he's apparently used to, I mean, I don't know how long this 5,000 square feet's been into effect.
Well, actually, that's been since the adoption of the code.
Since the adoption of the code, okay. You know, he said that, you know, if we wanted to change that, they could take it out, but then it would be the discretion of the building code department. If they get something in that's 2,500, 3,000 square feet, that's all cut up and requires further engineering, then they would ask that to be done. Now, whether, you know, the council would want them to make that call, or, I mean, I think that building code would be very fair, but I've talked to Mr. Warfel with Design Plus from Greenwood, and he was sharing with me about something, and he wants to make some comments, so I'll let him do that if it's okay, Mr. President.
Yes.
He was talking about one that went over 5,000 square feet the other day that he was doing with the basement and upstairs and the living quarters. And it was just a square box, and it was just a center beam down it, which is very, very, very simple, but it just barely went over 5,000 feet. That's probably one you would let him go by on, but, you know, I'll let him. He draws for Kent County, and he draws for up in Kent and Sussex both, so he's very familiar with what they do up there. And so, you know, if it's okay, Mr. President, John?
We weren't advertised, right, as a public hearing.
Yeah, sir, if you could keep your comments just to informational, not for or against anything. Just say what you do, and that's it. For Mr. Duke, you come to the mic, please, and say your name and address.
My name is John Warfel, and I draw house plans for a living. I'm not a licensed architect, and the case that you're talking about was the house that I designed. And let me just clarify some numbers, first of all.
The
main floor was about 2,100.
Is that right?
The second floor, which is unfinished, was about 13, which comes to 34. And then the basement was, of course, a full unfinished basement, which was another 2,100. It was over 5. Now, in this particular case, it was a very simple design, and I agree with everything Van said. Some of the bigger houses are simple, but some of the 3,000 square foot ones might be very complicated. I just personally feel like it's out of sync with the rest of the counties, because in Kent County, City of Milford, Newcastle County, they don't require it. Kent County, by the way, does reserve the right to selectively require engineers or architects seal, and I personally would feel that's more what would do the customer the better good. I would feel more comfortable with Van and Andy deciding which ones need it than blanket saying anything over this amount or under this amount does or doesn't need it. And so I just think it would do the customer a better job if we left it in their hands instead of having a blanket amount. Now, if we're going to keep the blanket amount, I'd like for it to be really specific so we know exactly what we're including or not including, so that I can advise my customers when they need or not. And I didn't get a copy of that. That would be very helpful.
All right, thank you. I'm going to keep it very short there.
John, they all stick together when you give somebody just one.
Thank you.
Whatever. I did take a little time, and one of my inspectors did. I won't take credit for what I didn't do. But I contacted some of the other local jurisdictions. And like the city of Seaford, it's at the discretion. And I asked them, or they was asked why that was. They don't get many 5,000 square foot houses, so it's not a worry. He told you about Kent County. Bethany Beach is 5,000 or larger, or anything on ocean front. The town of Rehoboth is all single families are sealed. However, what I did find is that all the towns require all commercial plans to be sealed. We've been doing commercial plans on our own at 5,000 square feet. So I'm not saying we're giving a break, but we've been
it's given
working hard with the commercial end of it also. And another thing we have to remember, by this new code, townhouses come out of the residential code now. So most of your townhouses are 5,000 square feet or larger. I mean, there's not many townhouses. You know, you get 6 to 8, 10 units that they would do.
Would you feel, Van, if the council decides or makes a decision to say you'll do it at your discretion, do you feel comfortable doing that?
I feel very comfortable that myself, right. Andy always fills in when I'm not there. Right. The rest of the staff, we have a good staff, and most of them, all but one is certified inspector, and I got two certified plan reviewers, and we would be very capable of doing that. But you know, you got to remember that if I had that discretion, I want that discretion. To be honest with you, council, I don't want.
You don't want to get a phone call.
You don't want no, sir.
And that's what will happen. You'll get the phone call.
Yes, sir. I mean, I'll be honest with you, and I'm not patting myself on the back, but I strive very hard to help the consumer and the contractor. Right. I don't try to. I've got, we got plans set up right now that people can come in on a commercial set of, or a residential set of plans that are sealed. They're doing repetitious. They come in there and they walk away with a permit. Just like that. I mean, according to how busy they are up front.
Right.
So, I mean, we do have programs set up that is beneficial to the contractors. I don't want you to think that.
Well, I don't think that's the issue at all.
Is this the, since we've gone with the International Building Code, is this the first flag that's come up with concerns about inspection? I hate to shoot holes in something we adopt.
We only, let's see, the basement thing about being habitable space. The new code says that if it's going to be habitable, it has to have egress. If it's going to be strictly storage only, doesn't have to have habitable. That was something that came up that I was concerned about, but we don't require emergency egress if it's going to be storage only. Speaking of basements, the only thing I would say about basements is we have some, I'm not going to name companies or anything, but have some companies come there, and the energy calculations, they like to go ahead and insulate that basement wall. That's all they want to do is insulate it. Well, that's finished basement then.
That's what?
That's a finished basement. An unfinished basement would be nothing down there and insulating ceiling joists. That would be our code.
You know, but you're counting basements, whether they're finished or unfinished.
Right. Yes, sir. I'm just saying if you decide to do it, well, I'm just saying I don't know what the council's going to do, but if you decide to do it unfinished, then that's
what it is. You know the reason they're putting a basement in. They're going to finish it off sometime.
That's my feelings.
And structurally, that should be a part of the looking at it, because that's the main structure of the house. There's a foundation in the basement.
Very true. You know, you ain't got a good foundation, you ain't going to have it.
Yeah, and elaborate on that. I think someone said here earlier that the basement really didn't matter, but we had a contractor move in the area a couple years ago, 3 years ago, and as soon as they moved in, people had homes that were built and the basements were collapsing. And we had a number of calls on that, if you remember. And, you know, so that, still that's the concern. When you get a big house and you put a, you know, they're pouring these basements now with poured walls quickly. I mean, they could do 5, 6, 8 a day when they come in a subdivision. And that's a concern sometimes when you got sandy soils and their things collapse and cave in and they do them so fast that it has occurred.
Right.
And that's where that seal protects everybody, because that's, you know, as fast as the homes get built or they're off-site builders moved in there, they set them on top of this deal. It's a done deal then. And that's a very important aspect. Is
how many 5,000 square foot homes are being built?
A lot.
I mean, well, no. When you say a lot, yeah, more than say 10 years ago. But really, a lot when you take into consideration all the homes that are being built.
I mean,
there's a hell of a lot of homes being built, and I can't imagine that many of them are
20%. You see, that to be a fair figure.
I would address that. Probably about 25%.
Now, you have to remember, we're also getting 10,000 and 12,000 square foot homes, too.
I'm sure, so occasionally, but I still think that's high. I can't believe there's 25% of the homes being built in this county are 5,000 square foot.
With the way we figure it, yeah, maybe that's the problem. But if the council would entertain anything, would it entertain the thought of keep the requirement on there be at the discretion of myself or Andy to not require it. I mean, the house Mr. Warfel was talking about. Now, clear cut, dry, we don't have a discretion. Code says 5,000, we go right by the book. That's just food for thought if you want to do it just the opposite.
I think that would be very reasonable, and maybe this will help now, being that Mr. Warfel has a copy of what you calculate, mm-hmm. so that he'll know what the calculation. But if it's just a rectangular 28 by 48 and with a center beam down, you know that don't require, you know, if you had that discretion, you could say, okay, it's, you know, we won't need to require the seal on this one. I mean, I think that'd be fine.
I would do that. That's not a problem with the councils.
I think the only thing we might require, because if it is over 7 feet, I know we counted, but you know they're going to refinish it somewhere down the line, that we should require some kind of exit, you know, that we don't require if they come in and say storage only. Is that correct?
Well, we don't require the emergency egress at this point because it's not in the code.
Correct.
So the council would have to actually...
something that we'd have to look at.
Yeah, Mr. Griffith, we'd have to put in there, like we did smoke detectors like several years ago. They decide to adopt. You would actually have to take a section out of the 2006 code and say we're going to enforce this part.
Well, I think they should remain the criteria that to get the calculation. But if it's something very simple that they had the opportunity to say, okay, you know, you still require the 5,000, but they could say, this is simple, we're not going to require it.
I think you're right, but I said I think the only thing you would have is certainly if I was putting in a basement, a crawl space or whatever, right. Crawl over seven foot or above, I've done it because I'm going to make it livable space somewhere down the line, and that we need to pre-plan for that so that, you know, we have that safety issue covered.
Right.
Well, I do require them now to everything be waterproof. It used to be a chance of being damp-proof. Well, that's right. That's out the window of this new code.
Right.
It's going to be so deep, it's going to be waterproof. That's been a help. Okay. Because we had some putting in it, wouldn't do it.
Any other questions, Mr. Milligan? We don't turn this into a workshop. We can take it under advisement and just think about what.
Is there any support for letting them have the discretion to say, okay, you don't need it because this is just a 28x48 rectangle with a, you know, and they feel comfortable in not requiring it?
Anything over 5,000 that comes in very basic, you're saying they could.
I think it doesn't make any difference what it is. I mean, if they get a stupid one at 3,000, you know, complex.
Honestly, we have done that. Honestly, I was telling Dale, like post and beam houses are hard to do. We had one cut up that had we're going to call it a widow watch, third floor, and the way they were constructing it was something I hadn't encountered, nor the plan reviewer, and we asked them to go out and seal that part. We didn't ask for the house to be sealed, but see, you know what? The way you're building this, I'm not comfortable with it. So get that out there and seal. And he brought it back in, and the architect did change it. He did the way he had it, and then he changed it up, and it was fine.
Right, yeah.
So I actually used that discretion at times, and I have no problem of being fair with my discretion.
All right, instead of just doing a knee-jerk reaction here, let's just wait a week or two and just let these gentlemen get feedback to us. That way you're not putting the spot on what they want to do and not want to do, and then we put it back on the agenda.
Okay.
That's fine? Okay.
Thank you.
Next item. Thank you, Mr. Milligan. Next thing,